My name is Sophie. I'm an alcoholic compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor, and I'm hopefully going to keep it simple. And I feel a little bit emotional. I've been waiting for some tears to come up because I've been sad a bit for the last 24 hours, and they didn't come the whole day, and all of a sudden I sit here waiting to get started, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, now don't cry now. That's but you know what? This is so amazing. All of this is God. Anyways, I'll just start at the beginning, wherever that is. I do believe that I was born with this disease. And what I mean with the disease is really the restless irritable discontent. There are lots of stories about how I looked as a child, blah blah blah, and I'm not too interested in that because I think it doesn't matter, what other people say or don't say. I do remember special treats, my grandmother raised me, and when I was behaving myself in a certain way, I got these special treats. And I mean, my grandmother spoiled me one way or the other. Just if I behaved in a certain way, there was definitely going to be a treatment with food, and I find it so unfortunate that for quite a while, I just didn't get it, that was actually just the way how they did that back then. My grandmother was an elderly lady who went through two or experienced two world wars, so food, and especially certain food is, I mean, that is love. And I'm so grateful, through the program, I can see and understand things now differently, and I don't have to go in, oh, they couldn't do it any better. That was the old me. Back then, it didn't really show my body. I was always a very active person. Also there, restless, running around, doing all kinds of things. When I hit puberty, some, again there, I don't know, is it, does it really correlate? I don't know. There was a quite a significant change in my family, and maybe I also really didn't cope very well with puberty, very possible. For me, my alcoholism and compulsive eating and bulimia and restriction is very tight together, so I just went in full speed, and it was actually quite clear very quickly that this was out of control. I just didn't see it. I was really deluding myself that I could do it. And there's just one memory popping up where, and really talk about restless, irritable, and discontent. On the weekends, I was most of the time alone. And I remember one evening where I had told myself, I'm not going to do this again. It's disgusting. Bulimia is disgusting. Not going to do it. And then I was in our living room, and I was just, I won't. If you're anything like me, I don't have to explain that feeling to you. And I'm like, itchy, twitchy, bitchy. You know, like, ugh, there's something. And I just did not know. I mean, it was just impossible. And I gave in, you know. I can't even call it relapse because I mean, I didn't know any difference. I'd never been to recovery. And so fast forward, left home, went to my first round of studying. it was not funny back then. And I went again, like it just went south. I mean, I ended very quickly in my first nut ward. And they couldn't help me. I remembered there, it was awful. I mean, it was just absolutely awful. And the ego, I mean, you know, really back then, believe me, nobody found it funny and I didn't find it funny. Just, I mean, I was in a closed nut ward and I thought to myself, how dare they put away the knives? It didn't occur to me. Well, closed nut ward, Sophie. But it was just like, well, and it was, yeah, just awful. I mean, you know, I don't know why I share this tonight. It's just for me, I have proved that to myself to the nth degree. There is no human power that could have relieved my alcoholism, compulsive eating, bulimia. Forget it. I tried it a couple of more times. I was someone that has been in and out of treatment centers. I have never stopped in the treatment center. Maybe, you know, it was a little bit better there, just never stopped. I'd never heard about OA. And in one of those treatments, the doctor that founded the group, and you know, in Germany where I live, 12-step programs are not that, you know, common or like known of. And he, thank God for this guy, he sent me to my first meeting. And you know, the last time I spoke to him, he said he didn't say it that way. I remember it that way. It doesn't matter. I believed he's going to kick me out of the treatment center, and I did not know where to go. So I went to the meeting. And goodness was I sick. I was looking around in the room, you know, just very polite because that's how I was raised, you know, just thinking, oh my God, I'm not that sick. I mean, I was probably sicker than everybody else there because I mean, they were not in treatment. I was. And you know, I went to the two meetings. I think he had said to me, you need to go to two meetings, and that's what I did. And then, you know, again, good girl, good to go, you know? So it took me another 3 years until I came back again, treatment center. No surprise, huh? A little bit stubborn, you might say, or I don't know what. And I absolutely love that in this meeting here, you read in the beginning the invitation to you. This is something that I heard in this meeting when I, quote unquote, came back. I can't really say can't came back because I didn't, you know, in the beginning that was just like visiting. November 2009, that's when I applied for permanent residency in OA, and that's going to be a life thing for sure. When they read that, welcome to OA, welcome home, I don't recall that much of this meeting because I was just not in a good spot at all. I do remember that and I felt it. You know, I do remember a couple of people who were back then in this meeting. And I promised them that I'm going to come back, and I did. Didn't get abstinent right away. Took me another, oh yeah, actually a year, to get abstinent. There were stretches without relapses, I guess. you could also already call that progress. Anyways, what my rock bottom was the fear, and it's really amazing because now I struggle so much with my career. Back then, it was the fear that I couldn't do that for a living. That was my fear. It was not the fear, oh, maybe I'm going to lose my teeth, you know, or mo maybe I'm going to severely damage something else in my body. I mean, you know, that would make some sense. Or maybe, oh, well, you know, I mean, I was on and off suicidal. Nah. But the fear of not being able to work in this profession, that was like, okay, you really have to get serious, and you really have to, you know, there are certain things that my sponsor suggested that I do. I have no idea how she pulled that patience off with me. I have really no idea. I was just like, no, going to a meeting on a daily basis. And now I find it hilarious because, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the way how I wanted to say acted, which is really beside the point, and it's just dishonest how the disease had me in its clutches. Like, an hour per day is nothing, you know? I mean, nothing compared to what I had to do. So, surprise, surprise, I started to go to a meeting on a daily basis, and boom, did I have a wonderful experience with recovery. Every worry that I had, you know, oh, I'm not going to have enough time for my work. I had enough time and energy and everything. I would love to say that I've been abstinent since the 27th of November 2010. Unfortunately, that's not my experience. After 4.5 years, I became dishonest. I didn't have a working sponsor relationship any longer, and you know, I always think that if someone can learn something from my mistakes, they were not made in vain. So, by all means, if you don't have a sponsor, or if you don't have a working sponsee relationship, see what you can change. This relapse was awful. After 4.5 years off sugar, eating sugar again, I had an experience that I prefer not to have again.
7 minutes.
Oh, thank you. And long story cut short, my last relapse into bulimia was end of 21. I stopped counting days or anything like that. And I've started to work with a new nutritionist because my old nutritionist just didn't get what I needed as a guidance. I started to work with a new nutritionist in, I think, late summer, early autumn 22, and that's what I consider to be my abstinence state. I'm so grateful that I have again a sponsor where I feel like I can trust. I have really had a bumpy, bumpy, bumpy road with sponsors, and I've learned quite a bit about myself. Things that I really didn't like to see that they were still a problem, like making other people into higher powers. For example, my sponsor. That I certainly did that with my first sponsor. And I mean, it says it in the big book so often, we need to depend on God. And I don't know. I'm really amazed. You hear about all these things in the rooms about halt and all these nice little sayings. And you know what? If that would be true, I have been so exhausted for quite a long time for various challenges. And I'm not saying that I haven't added up to that, okay? I'm not saying that.
5 minutes.
And yet, thank you. And yet God has kept me abstinent. Sanity is a different thing, okay? I mean, it would be very sane for me to get a little bit more sleep once in a while. It would probably also be quite healthy for other people, because then I can be just a little bit nicer, a little bit more patient. So I guess what I'm saying is, with some things I disagree. I believe everything that is in a big book, everything. I've had so beautiful experiences, and even when the going gets tough, which I find it has gotten quite tough lately, I'm grateful, because in the past I would have binged and purged my brains out. I would have definitely not been able to reach out to someone and make myself vulnerable, or take my own inventory, or admit that, oh, there might have been a problem here with me as well. And you know what I do believe in, because it's been my experience. God has never let me down. Never. So, I'm here for the journey. My life plan looked a little bit different, let me tell you. But I understand. I think I come to understand that is beside the point. So, step three, I mean that. And I think with that, I'm going to leave it alone. Oh no, you know what? I heard something so beautiful. I'm going to say that, and then I'm going to leave it. Detachment is the mental state of letting go. That was, I had a rough 24 hours that was meaningful. Surrendering is the emotional letting go. And this word surrender, I mean, it's obviously for all of us very important. For whatever reason, I've never heard it put that way. And the surrender, can actually be a physical act, and sometimes it can be like really this emotional letting go. I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys. I just found it so beautiful, and I'm grateful when I can let go. Sometimes it needs to be mentally first, and sometimes it needs to be emotional. And I found it so fascinating, and I wanted just to throw it in out there. So anyways, now I'm really going to stop. Thank you.